summary, and what does that mean to us as born-again believers, and how we should enter into the feast. And feast actually means moedim, which means in Hebrew, which means appointed times. So there's an appointed time. There's an appointed time. There's a reason. Like, do we celebrate like Christmas? Do we celebrate birthdays? There's appointed times that there are certain things that we do. I think Deb said something in prayer. I don't know, where is she? Where'd she go? Anyway, she said, we celebrate, so we elevate when we celebrate. So it's important to celebrate the things of the Lord so that we remember the things that the Lord has done, and we can enter into those things because he wants us to remember and recall and enter into these things to even give us more depth and more revelation. You know, it's not a ritual thing, okay? It's not to be like law. It's not, because we are under grace, amen? So when we do this, like studying the feast or thinking about, there's something in all of the Word of God that brings revelation to a deeper depth. You know, so often, I don't know about you, but I can say I know a lot about the Bible maybe, or the Lord, right? Because I've been with the Lord a long time. But when I look at how big he is, I know nothing because, we're just tapping in. We're scratching the surface because our God is, inexhaustible. And so it's just like why we need to know that there's more, you guys. There's more than what we've known. And I believe that this is a season. You know, I kept on praying, Lord, what is it that on this new year, like for me personally, is to know the wisdom of God, to know the revelation of who he is even more in a depth way I have not known before. Because we can't be satisfied when there's so much more. It's like, can we make our capacity larger to withhold even more of what God wants? I say yes and amen. And so I'm really hungry for that because we can be content in the Lord. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to pull that we have to strive. Please don't get me wrong. We're not into striving, but knowing that there is more as God reveals his power, his grace, and his love in a greater depth. So, and I think, as we go through this, you know, there's things that God does individually with us in our appointed times with God and seasons. And then there's things that also have to do with us being the ecclesia. So it goes out of our own personal mission to the kingdom mission of God, which, of course, is part of the wholeness of who we are. And that's why we need that very foundation. When Pete comes here, he'll lay a really good foundation. I really pray you invite people to come to this because I feel people really need this, because if you don't know the Father, how deep the Father's love, that is foundational. You're going to be trying to do things on your own. You're going to try to, go into striving. When you know the Father's love, it will just give you such strength and confidence, okay? And that's what we need in order to live in this world. We need the confidence of the Lord to go ahead and do what he's called us as an ecclesia. Because we had a discussion with them. I said, I asked him what he felt about the Seven Mountain teaching, which that's kind of really in my heart a lot. We have a teaching we've been holding for a while that maybe we need to do, but I've been asking the Lord for a timing, right? Dick and I have been asking because it's very deep, and it's something that you have to be kind of ready for it. That's all I can say, and it's just like, it's so foundational, though. You can't really capture the seven mountains unless you know the Father's heart and you know the Father's heart for these mountains. Otherwise, we're just striving. We're just trying to make something right because we see something wrong. And that's not it. It's to bring the love and the goodness of God on these mountains and know that they were created for God's glory, to show forth his glory. So let's go on with the fall feast of the Lord, and there's three of them. The fulfillment of some of those feasts have already been done, as we know in the spring feast, where the feast of Passover, where we see Jesus as our Passover lamb, right? Pentecost, the season of Pentecost, the feast of Pentecost, where we have the whole indwelling of the Holy Spirit now. So we're just going to go into three of the fall feasts and some other things, but let's start with how to feast on the feast of the Lord. Because so often, you know, like I said before, we're not trying to make anybody Jewish. We're not trying to get into ritual or law. But there's things that we can learn from every part of the Bible. Amen? So it's still His word. So anyway, the fall feast, God's appointed times. And sometimes something does happen to me, really, spiritually. I feel, I don't know about you, when the seasons change, like when fall comes, there's something in my spirit. I mean, we know we can see the leaves fall. There's, God is speaking change. You know, the leaves fall, the seasons change, and it's just like there's the nature is actually displaying that. You know, there's so many things that happen. Things go dormant, things fall off, but there's a place in this appointed time of God where we meet with God. So the first feast is Rosh Hashanah, which is intertwined with the Feast of Tabernacles, right? I mean, sorry, Feast of Trumpets. And Robert Stearns, if you're familiar with Robert Stearns, he's very much about Israel. We had followed him for a long time, and actually he has a great heart for Israel, which I really got a heart for Israel through him. And anyway, he called the feast, he called it a day of shouting and blowing the trumpet. It's like we can't be quiet. There's something about the shout in the tents of the righteous of the Lord. You know, sometimes there's times of silence, there's times of meditating, but there's something in the vibration and the frequency of the trumpet. And so Rosh Hashanah is about that. It's a time of shouting and blowing. It's about casting our bread upon the water of the past season. It's about ushering in the awakening. Come on, don't we all need to be awakened? And so when we blow the shofar, it causes an awakening and an assembly. I mean, it has several different meanings if you want to study it out. But I felt the Lord just capitalize on the awakening, that we need to come into a deeper awakening. I don't know about you, but I need a fresh blast of the awakening. Amen? That God, let me see something I didn't see before. Let me enter into something I didn't see before. Blast, a fresh blast of that trumpet over me, over my family, over this church, that we come into the freshness of a revelation that God wants to do in this time, because God is a good God. God is a God, an on-time God. God's a timely God. He's not working off an old thing. He always is fresh and renewing our minds. Amen? So we enter into this year, and sometimes it's called Rosh Hashanah. It's called the head of the year. It's a new year on the Jewish calendar. And so I thank you, God, that he knows what the shofar was created for. And sometimes we look at that, what does this mean? Why do we need this blast of awakening? In Isaiah 60, it says, deep darkness covers the earth and thick darkness the people, but the Lord arises on you and his glory appears on you. And so it's like, we are that shofar. We are the voice of God. People, the ecclesia needs to know their position and responsibility of being the awakening, to be the shofar. And I sense, yes, there are going to be some shakings, right? We know that there is, but then we know that there is a glorious day. Isaiah, going to that, Isaiah 60, but going to verse 1, it says, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises on you. What if we took that scripture literally and not just ho-hummed it, but we said, God, arise on me, let your light come, because he is in us, that it would blast through me, and that the glory of the Lord, it arises, it's within us already. Remember, we talked about we are Zion, we are people of the Lord, and Zion, we are the presence of the Lord walking in this earth. Amen? So we need to get out of our sleepiness. We need to be woken up. And I speak that as the church. The church needs to come up to that. You know, we've been saying, let's level up. Let's level up. There's another level in God that maybe we haven't talked to. I don't know about you. When you first got saved, you knew you were just, oh, I'm so grateful to be saved. You know, and understand the grace of God was a huge thing for me, and the righteousness of God was a huge thing. So I wouldn't strive in that. But then there's that mission and call that God gave us purpose to do something on the earth, to bring his kingdom to the earth. Amen? So we need to have the blast of the trumpet wake us up and get up higher to radiate and reflect the glory of the God on the earth. Amen? And so we are breaking forth in the light of a new day. In Psalms 24:9, it says, so wake up, you living gates, and rejoice. Fling wide, you ageless doors of destiny. Here he comes. The King of Glory is ready to come in. So Psalms 24:9, so wake up. Who's the living gates? Who is the living gates? Come on. We are, exactly. It's not, we are the living gates. We are to fling wide, right? Who is the ageless doors of destiny? We are ageless, we are supernatural, we are eternal. So we are the doors of destiny on the earth. And so I want to read Ephesians 5:27. This is what the Lord says. All that he does in us, come on, in us, is to design to make a mature church for his pleasure until we become a source of praise to him, glorious and radiant, infused with glory, beautiful, holy, without fault or flaw. Wow. I mean, I don't know. I get excited about that. This is what we are designed for. And he wants to bring us into that mature church. You know, we don't want to be, I heard someone say, we don't want to be a crescent moon. We want to be the full moon. And what I mean by that, the fullness of God. And it even says, let me read this scripture in Song of Songs 6:10. It says, look at you now, arising as the day spring of the dawn, fair as the shining sun in all its strength, astonishing to behold as a majesty army waving banners of victory. He says, as fair as the moon, as bright as the sun, are we the majestic army with billowing banners. That's from the Song of Songs. We did a study a couple years ago on the Song of Songs. Wasn't that awesome? And it's so much more. It's about our relationship with God and how he brings us in and how he wants us to run with him on these mountains. And you know, he doesn't want to, you know, he could do things by himself, right? But there's something about he loves to do things with us. He wants us to co-partner and do stuff with us. We are the body, we are the bride, and we are the army, bright and shining. Amen? So the shofar is blown at this time, and it is the horn of salvation, and which we can see, who is the horn of our salvation? Well, it's Jesus, right? And we see in the story about Abraham and Isaac, when Abraham was going to sacrifice his son Isaac to the Lord, and then God provided a ram in the bush, and the shofar is a ram's horn. So it reminds us of his salvation, that he is the horn of our salvation. Amen. And so it's interesting, when I was reading, kind of refreshing myself on some of the feasts, because we used to do this all the time, a lot more, and I just had to refresh myself, but I was reading about the shofar, and in my book, this is an excellent kind of referral, it's the Feast of the Lord, and it talks about how when we blow the shofar, that the Jewish people thought it brought confusion to the enemy. It actually, when they sounded the shofar, they believed that it would confound the enemy, that the enemy would believe the Messiah was here, right? And that Satan had lost his power. But the fact is, you know, even though Jewish people, they need to come to salvation, of course, we pray for them, they're God's people. But it's just, but then the reality is, God does confound our enemy. Messiah has come, amen? He has come and took all authority, come on, all authority away from the enemy. And that's why we have to enter in what the Word of God says. We have to enter in to our inheritance. We have to enter in what God says. He is not a liar. If he said it, I think, Angie, you said that, right? Do you believe it, or how did you say it? You said, God said it, right? So we should believe it without a doubt. But sometimes, what? Yeah, if Jesus said it, it must be true. And it's sometimes, why are we always like trying to process it out? Just take it and believe it. You know, and we talk ourselves out of things. And that's why the shofar, I love the shofar. I love when Deb and Sandy come, and Tim Abbey used to blow the shofar. I'm not that great at it, but you know, it's just, it does something. It breaks off something in me. I don't know. I just receive the frequency of the Lord is blowing. The Lord is blowing his shofar over me. But not only that, He is causing me to be a shofar. I heard a really amazing word, you know, that we are the voice and the presence of the Lord on the earth. Come on. You know, let's not weaken who we are. We gotta come up a couple levels on that. Because we're trying to work from an earthly perspective when God says you need to come up here and see who you really are. You are seated in the heavenlies with Christ. And so Bill Yont is a prophet, has been a prophet I don't know if you remember him or know him, but he used to be at a GLOW a lot of times. And he talked one time, an amazing article, I couldn't find it, but my recall is he was talking how we are made a shofar. And then he started to talk about the process of a shofar. So it's like the shofar, the horn had to be cut off, right, from the ram, but then it had to be scraped of all the flesh that was inside the shofar, and then it had to be burned out, and then it had to be over a fire, because they don't come all like all nice and neat, but they get stretched and pulled. And it's just like, wow, what a process, you know, of us becoming that shofar. We are there positionally, but there's things that we need to burn out our old fleshly ideas. Come on, we need to think higher and think in a higher perspective. Amen? That means the transforming of our mind, the renewing of our minds. We have the mind of Christ. Amen? We need to align with that. You know, and that stretching, even though we go through things and we're stretched, that God gives us victory, because blowing the shofar is also a victory sound in the earth. Even, you know, we're going sometimes into war, but we're always promised the victory through Christ Jesus. Amen? So it causes confusion. Just think about it, and confounds Satan, the accuser, because don't you know we have an accuser? How many times do you have these little naggy thoughts come in and just tell you who you are? You know, you're not really that. You're not really this. You can't do that. This is going to happen. You know, you're going to end up, you know, living the same old, same old, same old way. Nothing's going to change. Come on. You know, it's just like the enemy trying to put that in your ear. But that shofar, and we have the voice. You know, when we talk about the voice of the Lord in Psalms 29, it's like a thunder. And it's like, you know, we can declare those things, and we can speak through the Spirit of God that's within us. Amen. So we're not doing this on our own. So anyway, Jesus wants us in this time of the shofar, the Feast of Trumpets. Let us enter into this and feast on this, that Jesus is blowing over us right now. He's blowing over our families. He's blowing over our city. He's blowing over our state and country and all the nations. Amen? He's awakening his church. And we need a fresh blast of awakening in us personally, but also the things around us and through us. And there is a strategic intercession, awakening for intercession, evangelism, greater anointing, and miracle signs and wonders. I've been pressing into that so much that I really believe that this is something that we can believe. It's important for us to posture ourselves in God's kingdom, that we can rule and reign in the cities and the nations. America will be saved. Amen? So we cannot, as the ecclesia, and I love how Kathleen brings in the ecclesia a lot of times on her declarations, that we are the legislative force in the earth. Matthew 16, right? We talk about that. We are the legislative force in the earth. We can't deny our responsibility, our call, our mission. Sometimes I think for me, like the enemy will try to get me off track on my personal issues. My personal things with what, family, relations, or other things that are trying to distract me. Maybe I have an issue, something with my health or something. It's like trying to pull me off my personal, you know, it's my personal need. I know that's important. God cares about that. Don't let me, you know, deny that. But that there is a personal, there's a kingdom call that goes beyond even our personal mission that God wants us to enter in. We cannot allow the primary elections determine the election, but let the ecclesia determine the election. What if everybody prayed? What if everybody believed? You know, it's so important that our prayers have such dunamis power. You know, everything is getting intense. Do you feel the intensity? There's things that are getting tense. So we need to be intense and awakened. And so Rosh Hashanah, this is about being awakened, the Feast of Trumpets, being awakened. Expect to be transformed in this new season. I don't know about you. I don't want to be in the old. I want to be in the new of what God is doing. I want to come into agreement with that. So right after Rosh Hashanah comes the 10 days of awe. And a lot of times that place is marked with an intention of the awe, 10 days of awe of God, the fear of God. And I think for some, it can feel very condemning. And it's not supposed to be that way because we are justified by the blood of Jesus. We don't have to fear God. It means a reverent fear. We don't have to be afraid of God. And, it's really about a greater intensity of the awe of who God is. So they call that, like a self-examination is not to be condemning, but it says, where am I, God? Do I believe you? I want to believe you. Is there anything in me that's not agreeing with you? I want that to turn around. You know, they call that, I think it's called teshuvah, to return to the Lord, to return to the way he thinks, the way he sees things, his perspective. I don't want to think like me. I don't want to think like God. We have the mind of God, so I don't want to enter in a carnal way of thinking. And we see that in the word in Corinthians about being carnal minded. It's going on your senses and your feelings. Are you letting those things dominate you? When you come in to the 10 days of awe, it's this big stretch of time of where you realize the awe-ness of God, how powerful our God is. Because, you know, when I look at circumstances, am I looking at God or am I looking at my circumstance? We have to, I know it's hard sometimes, it's the discipline, because the circumstances scream in our ears sometimes, but we have to come to a point of that awe-ness. So even in this time, Lord, I ask the Lord to strike me with the awe-ness and the fearfulness and the reverence of who you are, God, but not only who you are, God, because who you are is a reflection. I'm a reflection of God, so I can line up with who God is in me. That's a powerful statement, because we always think we're separated from God. We are in union with God. And so, you know, it's when we have these appointed times, it's sometimes a greater intensity of an appointed time. And, you know, as humans, sometimes we can't handle all of God at once. You know what I mean? I mean, we have God in us, but I mean, the knowledge is so amazing and so powerful. It's like, how can I take it all in? Do you ever get that way? I mean, sometimes I've read a scripture and all of a sudden it's just like, and this is part of the 10 days of awe, is the revelation that'll come as we are in awe of God. I mean, so often we're trying to figure things out when we just need to sit and know the awesomeness of God, the awe of God. You know, quiet our souls and go, God, I am in awe of you. I love you. That's all I need to say. And God will start pouring amazing revelation of what that means. So this is a time and a season that the Jewish people took of the awe of God. They did a lot of repentance too, and self-examination. But I say God already took every sin, that we don't have to come under condemnation, but we need to align ourselves to what God is saying. And are we hearing what God is saying for this season? Amen. And so you go to the next scripture. I'm sorry. Can you go to Acts 17? There. Thank you. Okay, Acts 17, 24. And it says, you know, things are getting so much more intense. The true God is the creator of all things, and he is the owner and the Lord of the heavenly realm and the earthly realm. And he doesn't live in man-made temples, right? He supplies life, and we talked about this. We sang about this. He supplies life and breath and all things to every living being. He doesn't lack a thing that we mortals could supply for him, for he has all things and everything he needs. From one man, Adam, he made every man and woman and every race of humanity, and he spread us all over the earth. He sets, and this is what the Lord highlighted this part of scripture to me. You know, it might be for you, but I know it's for me, for sure. It could be for you, just ask the Lord. He sets the boundaries of people. I think it's for outfitters too, though. He sets the boundaries of people and nations, determining their appointed times in history. There's another slide there. And he has done this so that every person would long for God, feel their way to God and find him, for he is the God who is easy to discover. I love that. It's not a hard thing to discover God. He is already speaking. It's, are we listening? Are we in that position of hearing the Lord? There's two ways of conversation, right? Hearing and speaking. And God is speaking. Are we hearing? It is through him that we live, and we love this scripture, that we live and function and have our identity, just as your poets have said, our lineage comes from him. We are the genesis of God. We are the creation of God. And so everything is becoming more intense. So we need more of this awe of God, of understanding who he is and the appointment of God. So of course, every day we can enter into the awe of God. I'm not saying that we can't do that. But I just feel like maybe there's certain times, just like I said, you might have birthday, you might have Christmas. There's an emphasis on certain things in certain times. Maybe the Lord is doing that for you. That there are certain times God is saying, come a little deeper, Anne. Come, and it's not like it's not already there. It's there. It's us coming to know the process and know who we are. We are releasers and we are glory carriers. Amen? So I want to stay in awe of who God is. And then, you know, we get, that's an important thing to know as we're getting equipped and prepared to what's coming, because we know that there's a shaking coming. How many know that there's a shaking coming? You know, it says that there will be, okay? But how is our response? Let's go to slide, next slide. And Hebrews 12, 26, 29 says, the earth was rocked at the sound of his voice from the mountain. For now he has promised, once and for all, I will not only shake the systems of the world, come on, woo, but also the unseen powers in the heavenly realms. That doesn't sound like we're in desperation, does it? Doesn't sound, even though there's things that are happening, I see a lot of hope in those scriptures. But this phrase, once and for all, clearly indicates the final removal of things that are shaking. That is the old order. So only what is unshakable will remain. Since we are receiving rights to an unshakable kingdom, we shall be extremely thankful and offer God the purest worship that delights his heart as we lay our lives in absolute surrender, filled with awe, for our God is a holy and devouring fire. Wow, I love this scripture. I know that things are going to shake. But you know, if I have the awe of God and know the faithfulness and the power of God, I am never defeated. I never enter into a victim mentality. I mean, God wants to break that off of us. The next slide is Haggai. And this is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and what is desired by all nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, said the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of his presence house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. Peace is an anchor to our soul. So when we go through things, we enter into peace. We don't enter into chaos. We understand that God is going to shake things, but what will remain? His unshakable kingdom in which you are a part of and you live in. Amen? So during this shaking, we hold on to Jesus Christ, the King. And in this time, it also talks about the coronation of Jesus, of the coronation of the King during this time of feast. And, you know, so we hold on to Jesus, our King. Remember, he is the King. He's not a lowly shepherd. He is the King. Period. And he's not only just the King, he's the King of Kings. Come on. So it's interesting. I heard a quote from Mike Bickle. He says, God will always do the least to get us to the deeper place, but we determine what it will take us to get there. It's a little thought to think about. And I think it's as we stay tender, yielded, and surrendered, it's easier for us to get there, to realize we're open. We're open to the Spirit of God. We're not trying to buck. We're not trying to be, you know, not rebellious, but, well, rebellion, I heard someone say rebellion is just that you think you know more than God. That's what rebellion is. And it's just like, do you ever think a thought? Nah, that can't be God. God said that, but I don't believe that. That's like rebellion. Like, we're not believing God's truth. Okay, so the more the tender we are, the easier for God to bring us into these revelations of truth. And the stubbornness, I remember somebody that I know got a scripture. I don't know if you know, anybody know Dick Mills, but he used to prophesy a lot in scripture. But one of the things he said to somebody I know, and it was interesting, he said, Psalms 32:9, which says, do not be like the horse and mule, which has no understanding, but is led by bit and bridle and makes them obey. God doesn't want to do that. You know, he does not want to do that. And that's why as we keep our stance tender and humble before the Lord, he will lead us. And, you know, God is calling his church, his praying church, that God wants to lead us into his revelation, to bring a strategy in this time. And it's just like your strategy might have been something 20 years ago, but maybe there's a new strategy God's giving us. Are we open to that? You know, like I see, like we used to, like, hand out turn or burn cards, you know, to people. and hoping that they would come to repentance, you know. And it was just like, and I feel like that's a little bit has shifted because we were so adamant about it. I mean, we learned a lot in how many years of being a Christian. But I think sometimes it's revelation. But here, you know, now, you know, we went down to Waukesha using the prophetic gift of prophecy to be able to speak a word into people's life, and we find that does even greater evangelism, just speaking through the heart of the Father to people that don't know that God is good. And so, you know, it's just like we have to be in tune to what God's doing. So the ecclesia, we are the praying church, and we can shift. We can help and shift how severe the shaking is sometimes. You know, there's nations that hate God, right? That don't want God in, look at China. But look at how China underground is, can't stop God. Can't stop God. Amen. But you know what? They're a praying church. Are we a praying church? Because I think when Cassie was here, she had a little mug. She, you know, she's from the Justice House of Prayer in Washington, D.C., and she had a mug that said, History belongs to the intercessor. That's actually a Derek Prince quote. Just think about that. If you look at your prayers, that we can create history. I don't know if you've read the book by Reese Howells. Yeah. What is it called? The intercessor, right? Yeah, yeah. And so how things shifted during World War II because of prayer. I mean, miracles, things that happen. That's what I mean. It is true. History belongs to the intercessor. We don't have to settle and accept things as they are. We have power. God's equipped us for this. So when we come into that revelation, it's powerful. So in this 10 days of awe, help us get through the shaking. And how he gets us through the shaking is to come into that place of the awe of God, of who God is and who we are in God. And that prepares us. The spirit of awe prepares us. We need to ask the Holy Spirit, overwhelm us. Do you ever ask that? Like, why am I trying to figure all these things out and so dependent on myself? It's just like, get out of ourselves and let's be in the presence and know God's presence. Just overwhelm us, God, with your peace, with your love, with your power. Amen? And so we ask for the spirit of the awe of God to pull us into that spirit of revelation, knowledge of Jesus Christ, who he is. And we pray that next scripture is Ephesians 1, 17 through 18. And this is something Paul wrote. I love Ephesians because it speaks a lot about the church and who we should be as the church. And he says here, as he brings us into the revelation of God, God's going to increase our capacity. I pray that the Father of God, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, would impart to you the riches of the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation to know him through the deepening intimacy with him. My gosh, if anything, we need to be in the intimacy of God. It's not about trying to get something from God. It's entering in that relationship, that intimacy, the closeness, the bridegroom and the bride. I mean, those things are so important, our relationship. And so it goes on to say, I love that deepening intimacy with him. I pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination. How many of you thought your imagination was a curse? It's not. God redeems our imagination to think and be creative and imagine better things than what we're seeing with our eyes. And so he says he's illuminating the eyes of our imagination, flooding you with light until you experience the full revelation of the hope of his calling. That is the wealth of God's glorious inheritance that he finds in us, his holy ones. Not only do we receive an inheritance, but we are an inheritance with the Lord. Amen? So our way to maturity, that's the way to maturity through this, that we carry this authority, that his will be done in the earth, that God can trust his ecclesia to be trusted with greater authority. And then we come into Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is the second feast at this time. It's a day of atonement. It's the holiest feast of the year according to the Jewish calendar. But I want to say to you, the day of atonement had to do with the blood of Jesus for us as Christians. Atonement. What does atonement mean? Atonement means at one with. We are at one with Jesus. We are in union with Christ. We are not trying to get Christ in us. Christ is in us in union. How many times in the Word it talks our union with Christ? We are co-laboring with Christ. We are in this together with Christ and the Father God of what he desires to do in the earth. So we go to that personal level deep and know that not only that we have atonement, but as priests, we carry an atonement, a ministry of reconciliation for the nations. Come on, we can pray for the nations and ask, have a national repentance and an atonement for nations' sins. How many of you know this nation has lots of sins and past generations, but we pray and we ask God forgiveness to redeem us, to have us come out and come, this nation come in one withness to God's purpose and God's kingdom. And through the blood of Jesus, we go to the mercy seat and we say, the blood speaks a better word. The Lord speaks a better word. The word is mercy. He speaks a better word. Mercy, mercy, mercy. And so often we want judgment, judgment, judgment. I believe that there is a time of judgment. But God, right now, there is a mercy. God's greater. You know what I find? God's mercy is so much greater. Like when I would, like, I've had it, that I'm done. You know, God still, his mercy still comes. You know, but there is a day of judgment. I'm not saying that there will be. But it's just like, we go to the mercy seat and intercede. We intercede not just about ourselves, our family, but also the call to intercede for this nation and for these mountains of society, because it's a mission bigger than ourselves that only God can do through us. And he desires, he's grabbing us. He says, I see what needs to be done. Ann, Janet, Mary Ann, Jim, Susie. You know, he says, I'm grabbing you. Sandy, I'm grabbing you to be my prayer partner. And I want you to partner with what I've said about this earth, what I've said already in the heavenly realms, that it can manifest. It can and it will manifest as we come together and join. We're two or three gather together, asking anything in the name of Jesus that's coming together with the will and the purposes of God. I'm not asking for something for myself, even though there's nothing wrong with that. But I feel there's a greater depth and call, especially at this time, because I do believe history belongs to the intercessor. I do believe God wants us to change, but he wants us to come alongside us. So in this time of Yom Kippur, you know, we see the atonement of the blood and what the blood can do. God can shift things. God can make things move. And so God wants to have us join in with the redeeming blood of what that says. It says in 1 Peter 2:9, he calls us a chosen generation and a royal priesthood. Do you know you're a priest unto God? Why? He's called you that. That's a New Testament scripture. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. It goes on and on and on. But he says, what do priests do? We intercede through the blood, because he redeems through the blood. We meet God at the mercy seat, and we say again, America can be saved. I think more in these days, we are going to have to declare that through the things that are happening in 2024. We need the ecclesia to rise up and agree with heaven's decrees for our nation. Amen? So then we enter in, last of all, the Feast of Tabernacles. We've heard the Feast of Sukkot, the Feast of Booths, right? So in that feast, you know, Israel would make these booths that they would come into, these tents, remembering the time when when God visit them, but he would be in the tent. But I want to say, you know what? The Holy of Holies. But we are the Holy of Holies. I know that's hard for you to imagine that, but if Christ is in us and residing in us, he does the work in our hearts. And he said, be holy as I am holy. I'm holy because he made me holy. Not out of striving. So he said in the Old Testament, in Exodus 25:8, he says, let them construct a sanctuary for me that I may dwell among them. But in the New Testament, it says, John 1:14, and the word became flesh and dwelt and tabernacled among us. And we saw his glory, the glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and full of truth. God came from heaven to pitch his tent. Amen. God is proclaiming his wraparound love, and it extends to a thousand generation. He gives us life under a canopy of love over us. Amen. So how do we feast on the Feast of Tabernacles? It's all about his presence. It's about gazing on his glory in his presence. We sit still in the unveiled glory of God at this time, in these appointed times. It's a special time that we can just gaze upon Jesus from the Father's all overflowing mercy and truth. You know, it's just coming into gazing. Do you ever sit there without saying a word and then let, just gaze on him? Just think about Jesus. Just think about Jesus. Let him, like he's standing right in front of you. We sit and gaze upon the Lord in his mercy. We gaze on the truth that cuts all the lies Satan has tried to accuse us of. Right? That we don't have a future, that we don't have hope, that you can't do this or you can't do that. I say, baloney. I'm not receiving that. You know, I noticed that there was a prayer shawl passed around. I love it. Because the prayer shawl also is a covering. And as they would do, Jewish people in their tradition would put the prayer shawl over their head and they would enter into that sanctuary. It's a personal canopy and personal sanctuary that God, you know, just shuts you off from all the distractions. Shuts you off. I can remember, Kathleen, if I can tell on you. But we did, I forgot, was that Bible study we did from Bob Sorge? Do you remember that? What was the name of it? Rest in his presence. But I remember you telling me you would take your blanket at home on your bed, just throw it over you, you know, and there was something about that, wasn't it? It was just like you're blocking out every other distraction, and it's just you and God. You and me, Lord, you and me tabernacling together. Isn't that beautiful? It's just like, oh my gosh, come on, people. We are amazing what God is doing. So how do we feast with that? We behold his presence. We feast on this feast that way. You know, we say we are more focused to set ourselves, you know, in the presence of the Lord, because it's a new year, because he knows the blessings, but he also knows the challenges that we might have to go through. But we know that we will endure even in this season. We know tribulations come, but God is preparing us in his glory. When, you know, when we're in the presence of God, you know the power of God and know the greatness of God, it causes a confidence that we know it's not, God is not human. He's super, super powerful. And when we enter into that, it helps us to level up, right? God knows how to get us past the season. And I declare this year, this past season is over. And the new season of thinking differently and seeing differently is here in Jesus' name, that he will get us there. And sometimes we know the accuser comes to entertain thoughts. Oh, no, you're never going to get there. You're never going to, you know, enter in this new season. But we say no. We position ourselves and say, thank you, Lord, that I'm getting soaked in the goodness of your presence. And you're leading me. I'm stopping everything else and spending time with you. This is a time of getting away, being caught away with the Lord. And sometimes there's special times like that, you know? It doesn't mean that you're not with the Lord other times. It's just sometimes there's an intensity to that. And so if there's no condemnation. But and sometimes the Lord may call you to a fast. You know, we always looking at a fast, what I have to give up. And we look at it very religiously. But really a fast sometimes is carving out time for God that I wouldn't have. What if I didn't have a meal instead of the time, carved that time to read my Bible? What if I carved out time, you know, to do, you know, give up going to something in order to spend time with God? So it's really about making that time for God in a new way, because really Jesus is a feast of tabernacles. We feast on him and we say, you know, he says, I want you. God is saying, I want you to come into my presence. I want you to feel my presence. And so even at this year, I've heard the prophets, a lot of people say 57, 84, 4 being the new year is the year of the door. And I believe that Jesus is our door. He is our door. He is everything we need, our opportunity. He is the one that carries the key of David. What you know, God has opened, no man will shut, and what God shuts, no man shall open. Isaiah 22, 22, or Revelation 3, 7, it still quotes that same scripture. So I'm just going to end with this. That we can, at this time, be awakened. In this new season, let us be awakened. That we can enter into the days of awe of knowing how powerful and mighty and how much we're loved by God, the awe-ness of God. We can enter into Yom Kippur, the atonement. Know that we are one with the Lord, that we're lining up with his plans and purposes. We can, number three, the tabernacles, we can soak in the presence of God and we can see his love covering us by spending time with him in this special feast. And so we thank you, Lord, for doing that. And then the next slide, I think this is the last slide, right? Yeah. So 5784, it's a Hebrew meaning of the numbers, 5784. And how many of you know that the numbers speak? And the numbers, you know, like letters have numbers, and it's you know, pretty amazing. So this is something that I got from James Gall, but I think, you know, it's true that we have hay. We're in the season of hay. Offers represents grace, divine goodness, and occasionally judgment or refinement. And Zayan, or how you say it, Ayan, how you say that? I can't remember now, can symbolize completion and reminisce of the seventh day of creation, and likewise denotes spiritual rest. How many need that? Eight, Chet, embodies new beginnings, right? The number eight, new beginnings, transformation, and the spirit of revival. And then this year, four, I think you say it, Dalet, I don't know, can stand for doorways or foundations. It also represents the four corners of the earth. So I, without going into a lot of into that, do your own study. And maybe the Lord will speak to you, but I believe four, because it's this year that change was four, that there is a doorway. There is doorways and opportunities, don't you know, every year. And I think that speaks true with Jim, right? Jim, you're in the season of an opportunity. How many times we look at, I think, Angie, you said that it's not a challenge, it's an opportunity. You know, how we look at things, you know, it might be a challenge, but it's an opportunity to see the goodness of God no matter what. Amen? So I just have one song to play. I just felt like we need to just get up and roar and shout. And if you have shofars, please blow them. Yes, it can. It's on Chrome. It's on Chrome, and it's called Lion by Elevation Praise Worship. And I just felt like, if you didn't get a honey, apple honey, come up and get that too and celebrate the sweetness of the Lord. And as we worship God, and then we're going to have Jim come up. We're going to pray for him. But let's end with this. Let's end with a shout. Now this next part, we're gonna declare this. Amen? And whatever disappointment or whatever you think didn't happen that should have happened in this past season, we're going to have that washed away. Any disappointment, discouragement, we're entering a new season. Be raised up, O mountain, be made low. Come on. O valley, woo! Be raised up, O mountain, be made low. O valley, be raised up, O mountain, be made low. O valley, come on, be raised, hey! O mountain, be made low. O to declare it. Be raised up, O mountain, be made low. Amen. Woo!
James, would you... No, I don't think so.